Father, we just thank you, Lord, for your goodness. And Lord, as we open your word, Lord, help it to be fresh. Lord, we don't want to come to your word with dead letters and leave without coming to you, Lord. So we just ask that you have breathed life into this time, into our hearts, Lord, and to each of us, Lord. Minister to our spirits. Reveal yourself to us and draw us closer. So that when we leave here today, Lord, that we don't want to just know more about you, Lord, but that we would come to a place when we love you even more. And then we walk in the fullness of what you revealed to us. And we just thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. So, I'd like to read the first 12 verses, and I'm just going to put it out there now. Kent tells me I need to hold things back to the end, but I just throw it all out there and then see what happens. But these next couple of weeks, as I look and finish up the book of Luke, I'm going to continue to build on what I shared last week about our apostleship. Because we see this played out in actuality with every person from here on out. Excuse me. I just want to point out, because there's some really neat things, I think, at least for me, hopefully for all of us. So I'm just going to read the first 12 verses today, and then we're going to do the rest of the chapter, hopefully next week-ish, possibly. We'll see. So let's just read the first 12 verses, and then we'll take a look at it. Now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb bringing the spices which they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened, as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in the shining garments. Then, as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but he is risen. Remember how he has spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again." And they remembered his words, and they returned from the tomb and told all these things to the 11 and all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them, who told these things to the apostles. And the words seemed like idle tales, and they did not believe them. But Peter arose and ran to the tomb. Stooping down, he saw the linen cloths lying by themselves, and he departed, marveling to himself at what had happened. Any thoughts? Any questions? Anything there you want to talk about? Look at it. One of the things that I noticed first is we have a lot of women coming to minister to Jesus with perfumes and spices they prepared. But they had wrong theology. Right? Wrong doctrine. They didn't understand. But they still went. Now, I would say that pretty much every one of us in here has places of wrong understanding, wrong theology, and wrong doctrine. Unfortunately, we're not all there yet. We're not completely perfected in his eyes, and we don't understand. We see in a mirror dimly, and then one day face to face. So they didn't understand, but they still went. They had questions. I think it's Mark that tells us that they were wondering how they were going to move the stone away before they got there. And it took these two men that were glowing to remind them of his words. And that is one of the greatest things that we have the privilege to do. How much of the Word of God did these ladies have for them to go and study to know at this point in time? Three, right. Everybody remember something someone told them for the last 3 years? I don't remember what I even said myself sometimes the next 10 minutes later.
I'm not going to get into that.
But anyway, but they had the Old Testament, right? And if you went to the tomb, or just think about it, can anybody think of a verse that comes to mind that would remind you that Jesus wouldn't have been in the tomb? I mean, on the third day. Think of some verses. Is there anything like, you know, they were off, right? They were going to the tomb. They wanted to minister to Jesus. It was the custom of the day to, on the third day, to bring perfumes because dead bodies rot. And usually rotting corpses don't smell good. So they were there to minister to him. They've had 3 years of his word being taught, speaking to him. They had the Old Testament in some ways written, but not ever. It was not available, like there's one in every pew to go and back and to refer to. They didn't have that. Tammy, get it.
They saw him raise Lazarus from the dead, but Jesus was the one who raised him, and so he's in the tomb. So they're human, so they're like, it's natural, sort of natural. I'm not sure how much women studied or even able to study the word.
Right. Many of them, we were taught that they followed and actually helped supply and care for, you know, supply the needs for them. But one of the things I think you guys, everybody who's been to Israel, us, tomb's still empty. Right? Sign's still there. He's not here, he's risen, right? Wasn't it outside the tomb? Or he is risen, it said.
No human DNA.
No human DNA in here. So, I mean, do you put yourself in those positions? These ladies are going to minister to Jesus and they're met. And they're saying, why do you seek the dead, seek the living among the dead? One of the things as we go through here, well, I just want to read 1 John 1:7 because I think it kind of puts it in the light, and you guys know the verse, but 1:7 says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. The reason why I write this, I talked about how in Psalms it says, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us. So what we have to walk in and understand is the word's a lamp, as we walk in that light, the direction that we understand, the best of our understanding, and he continues to illuminate it and lighten it up, we are walking in the light as he is in the light. They were walking in their own understanding with a heart after Jesus. What happens? They get met by angels, messengers from the Lord to tell them his word, to remind them of his word. And that's all we can do in this world, is to be a messenger, a reminder of what the Lord has spoken. And in that same time,
he expected him to be there, though.
Right.
Because they observed how his body was laid.
Right.
In verse 55.
Right. Like they followed Joseph of Arimathea and watched him bury him, so they knew. They actually waited 2 days. It was two. This was another day in between there. And as well, because it's 3 days, not two, right? Yes, they expected him there, and their expectations were off, but yet, for some, they got met, right? But the greatest thing that I saw here is that you have the Lord's desire, understanding that many times these people are going to, you're going to go to the place with have wrong understanding, but if the heart's there, the Lord's going to meet you to remind you of His words and to help clarify. And one of the big things for me is I know a lot of people talk about a word repentance, and they kind of look at different things in a way, maybe not different. Repentance does not have to be, there will always be a response, but it doesn't have to be totally an emotional response. You know, we always hear of ashes, sackcloth and ashes and rent in two, but the simple understanding of repentance is a change of mind, right? A turning from going one way to another. It's a basic, simple reality. I was blind, now I see. In this one little instance, right? So what did they do? They reminded them of His words. It's a great lesson for all of us as we're going out. The best thing we can do is remind people of Jesus' words, to bring them to a place that they can remember. The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful man and crucified, the third day rise again. He did tell the disciples and apostles and the ladies that walked with Him. Can anybody think of those verses?
Yes, it's in Luke.
Okay.
It's back up in 18.
Okay.
31-33
talks about
this. Everything is going to happen before that. And then I think
there's
in 9.
9 is Luke 9:44 tells us that just. Let these words sink down into your ears, for the Son of Man is about to be betrayed into the hands of men. And what did it say? They did not understand the saying.
But in 18 it says, in 18,
what
does it say? It came right through the list of 31.
Okay.
The 12th time said to them, behold, we are going to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man will be accomplished. For He will be delivered to the Gentiles, and will be mocked and insulted and spit upon. They will scourge Him and kill Him, and the third day He will rise again.
So they were told, right? They should have got it. They should have known. I don't know that that's completely. I think that there was a desire for them to know and understand and trust. To go there to see the empty tomb instead of there to minister to Jesus. But we find that even through all this, that the disciples were actually what, still together in fear. Beginning, because they had to come and tell them. But what I liked about this is it says that this verse 8 just says they remembered His words, and then they returned from the tomb and told all these things to the 11 and all to all the rest. You see, they went hoping to minister to Jesus, but of course Jesus ministered to him through other people, through messengers, so that they would remember, that they would receive the word of God, that they to bring to remembrance the things that He spoke. What is important about that? You know, when God brings His word to remembrance, He's trying to motivate something, right? When He speaks, it's for a purpose, right? We know that God's ways are higher than ours ways, and His word doesn't return void. It accomplishes the purpose for which it's sent forth, correct? So when He speaks to us, He wants us to align, mixed with faith, trusting Him that it's true. So when these messengers told these women It brought to remembrance the things that Jesus spoke. And the first thing they did was they went. They left what they were planning on doing. Their hearts were changed, and then they had something to share. Right? They're no longer going to minister to Jesus' body. Now his body is no longer there. He's risen. But they've been given him, they have a message. They received, and then they're going to go and give. It's a place of repentance. It's a place of learning, right? Did they not have to change their mind and believe these messengers? Yes, no, yeah, they had to believe, right? And so when they believed and received, they took what they got and went with it, right? Immediately. And they remembered his words, and then they returned from the tomb and told him all the things, all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. To me, this is repentance. When I hear from the Lord, he changes my mind and I walk in the new direction that I've just learned. Or would I just keep coming back to the tomb, to an empty tomb? You know, I'm not changed. It hasn't moved me. But they were moved. Were they worried about the outcome of going and telling somebody when they went to the 11? No. Were they received? Was their message received?
No,
right. He went to see. Back then, ladies, women's opinions weren't taken very seriously. And so when they heard it, it sounded like idle tales and they did not believe them. You know, many times when you see, when you're walking in repentance, when you're sharing the truth about a risen Savior and you go and tell, it's not going to be received. And I think it's beautiful that supposedly the first Pope needed to receive from someone else from the Lord. Like to hear from them, to be corrected by them in humility, but he didn't receive it. That was a joke about the first Pope. I'm sorry. But it's really neat here that the Lord used ladies, people back then, that seemed like idle talk and weren't as respected, to bring forth his message. I think it's still kind of the same today. Corinthians talks about the Lord using the foolish things of the world to confound the wise and the weak to overcome. The Lord always uses unexpected. But they should have been going to talk to people who knew, right? Peter and all these guys got to hear it more. They walked with them and they still didn't believe. I think this is a neat out of mouths of babes. He ordains praise, correct? And that means that no matter where you are in your walk or where you think you are, you should be able to receive when somebody's coming with the message from the Lord. At least take it and respond to heart. We should be open to receive and be willing to believe. Because Jesus, later when he comes to them, will see that he rebukes them for unbelief. So he mentioned to them, they came with the word and they didn't receive it. Just for me, it's neat because a lot of people won't receive instruction from someone they don't respect. But I think the Lord wants us to respect one another, that we can receive, knowing that all of us have that same ability to receive from the Lord, to receive a message, to be sent. Actually, I believe we all are. My personal belief, given something to speak. As we come before him and sit, he gives us something to say of himself and his goodness. But while Peter did not believe, he rose and ran to the tomb. Found out they weren't lying, at least about an empty tomb. But he left marveling to himself at what happened. Do you guys know how many times? Well, we're going to read here. Jesus is going to show himself to the people of the road to Emmaus. And then it's not even until later that Jesus actually shows up to the 11, or actually 10. But in Matthew, anybody ever try to read all the Gospels and try to put all this scenario in line? Like, see how it all worked out in practical? Think you get it, and then you read another one, and you're like, I got started over. I was going to read so really I didn't. My biggest thing today is to really continue to add to what I kind of tried to share last week, and that's the Lord. We're living in a dark world, and the Lord wants to make His light known. And I believe He wants to speak to all of us, and then He wants to minister through all of us so that we can be proclaimers of why do you seek the dead the living among the dead. How do we get that back? And He wants to bring us to a place that we're just surrendered to understanding. Like, what was the first, I would say, office position that God gave mankind? No. Garrett, did somebody else say something?
Authority over creation. I mean, He gave them
dominion.
Dominion.
Okay. I believe it was called when let us make man in our image. And in the image of God, He made man. That word image is really, I want to say my words. It's a office title type thing. It's actually an action. It's kind of a flowing together. I've chosen you to be what I want to bring forth as the image that I want to present to the earth. Adam failed. But mankind still did not lose their place. God has always wanted man to be His imagers, right? That when wasn't planning on this. They first were called Christians. Why? Because they had everything in common. And they looked like little Jesus. That's what Christian means. Christ-like, little Christ. Derogatory term at that time. But the Lord... So there is a way that as His image or His people, His body, right? That He wants to bring forth His light from our lives. Correct? That He wants to... Guys, I'm sorry. Yeah, He wants to live His life through a bunch of crackpots. Right? Literally. Why can't He? Because then the light can shine forth from the cracks. The Lord's desire. So He took and talked and said, I've made the choice to make you my representatives. That's what He did. Now, He doesn't leave us alone. It's not His desire. Man fell. It can't be done perfectly. So we need a Savior, Jesus, to not only save us from ourselves, but to even live His life through us to complete the work He wanted to do in the beginning. Right? So He says, you're my imager. We're told that in the now, as a believer, we're a kingdom of priests. We're royal, you're right. What's that?
Royal.
Priesthood, right? So God says, this is who you are. Last week we looked at Romans, what it said. I've given you an apostleship. That's just what it is. Are we not ambassadors for Christ? Right? Is not this the same thing that happened with the ladies? Right? They went, they learned, they got more information, and they went and shared. Right? This is all work that the Lord opened up and gave them to instruct them with the purpose that those who heard would repent. Nothing's changed, I think, since God said, let us make man. His desire is to live and move and have his being in us so that he can speak to the world around us. Jesus said in Matthew, he says, let your light so shine before men that when you do your good deeds, to give your Father in heaven, glorify your Father in heaven, right? There is a way that the people, or that we can live, that people will know it's God. And that can only happen for me, as I understand it, as I walk in the light as He is in the light. As He leads and guides us and directs us, He speaks to us and shares with us things that people you might think are believers might know or should know. Or to those who don't know. But what he gives us, he says, go. And that's what we see they did. We're all here today because eventually they got it. And they went. Some people think we're just tell idle tales. Right? But if they ever run and go see, they'll see the empty tomb. Some people are encouraged to run and see more, and they find out a little bit more as they go. You know, some water, some sow, some water, some reap, but it's God who gives the increase. All we can do is share what the Lord reveals. We're having fellowship with Him. We can enjoy it. They desire to minister to the Lord. And they wasn't a bad thing. It was just a misunderstanding. I think a lot of times we try to minister to the Lord when He's like, I'm risen. I want to minister to you. I want to flow through you. And I think that even as believers, we need to get that and come to a place where I'm trusting Him. And so really, when we look at next week and go in and start looking at the road to man, we're going to see the same things. And then we're going to see Jesus show up. Not that He's not here, but we're going to see Him start talking here soon next week. But I find it beautiful that when someone's doctrine and their understanding isn't complete, that the Lord desires to meet them where they are. And in nowhere does the Lord beat down, tear down, He builds up and encourages and equips. And that's the work that He wants to continue to do through the body. Sometimes we believe one another, sometimes we don't. Sometimes we say, hey, maybe they got something going on, let's go look at it. But really the heart has to be, let's go after Jesus. We got to stop living in a place where we see the world getting darker and we see the darkness instead of the light. We got to start just drawing near to Him. And James says that we are to receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save our souls. And right after that it says, be doers of the word. And I'm not at all, I am going to encourage to say, look, the Lord's wanting us to run a race. And each race is different and separate. They all have the same goal. But they're all going to be walking out in different practicalities. Might even look a little different. But ultimately, He's revealing light to us. And for us as individuals, we walk in that light and share that light. Share that light. And if it moves you in faith, if the Lord's moving, then and walk, to step out. I know that the Lord has placed on everyone not every, people's hearts, ways He wants to work through you. And most of us are like everyone else, we just don't believe and we don't see it. And or we don't have faith to walk in it. But I think the Lord truly has already shown you the works He's prepared for you to walk in. They might be little glimpses. They might be big pictures. But I want to encourage you to step out in it. Even if it's a little thing. Take one step. As the Lord in like gives you a light in an area, take that step. Trust Him. Doesn't matter if anybody else believes you. Because you're the one walking in fellowship in the fullness of assurance of the word that God's given you. And don't hide it and don't pull back. And really, we as believers, we should be able to be here to encourage us if somebody's going the wrong way to say, yeah, maybe not, or maybe that's not for me. But you have to be settled in your own heart that it's the Lord speaking to you and that it's what He wants. And we know that He wants Himself to be known. And He wants to first reveal it to us and then through us. But the through us is trusting in Him. I'm not saying that this isn't our work. But it's when I say I'm willing to agree with You, Lord, to let You continue to do Your work. Acts doesn't say, or Luke starts with, all the things Jesus began to do and teach. And then Acts is like the Acts, they say, of the apostles. But it's really the Holy Spirit, which is Christ. Right? He continued to do these things. He still wants to.
You know, I see something else in this passage.
Okay.
Something else that I think is really important. Because if I put myself in their shoes, you know, these followers of Jesus, they were really quite devastated. They were completely, like, I mean, they were probably just, they were hardly functioning, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And the world fell apart because they're in a bad place to begin with when He came along. And they felt like their hope was gone. So the reality, they couldn't see it. You know, what they thought, their emotions took over. And I think it is a lesson to realize that things are not always what they seem.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, because our circumstances can seem that God's there, He's working, but it seems really bad. There's just times like that, you know, and that He is there. So I think that that's just a good lesson for me.
Mm-hmm.
That things might look bad, but what the reality is really good. Really, it's about
really.
Unbelievably fantastic. So,
also, I think this, you know, like there's a principle of progressive revelation of Christ, and they went to where they loved.
They saw
Jesus.
Yes.
I mean, they knew He was there.
Right.
But they went for Jesus, and the Lord led them in their revelation knowledge of Himself. Through that progressive step.
Yeah.
And then they remember. Jesus. But I mean, that's like really all through Scripture.
Right.
You know, like from the beginning of history, the Lord has progressively been revealing Himself to mankind. And I was just thinking this morning while you were reading and everything, it's like, we have such great revelation of Christ in this age compared to what they had. He just continued, you know,
right.
They didn't have the New Testament, you know,
right.
Like you were saying. But I mean, we are really, we really have a lot to be accountable for.
To whom much is given, much will be required.
For what we, you know, what we see of the Lord and what we can glean from Scripture and the way the Holy Spirit is giving us life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's accountability to it.
But back to the good works that He prepared.
Mm-hmm.
He's the one that prepared the works. I think some of the fault of the church today is we prepare the words. It would be like, before you can walk in your shoes, you have to make them. You know, in the morning,
instead of running out of your
room. In the morning you put your shoes on, but you didn't prepare them. They were prepared
for you
beforehand,
right,
that you should walk in. And that's what you have to trust the Lord for. You know, each member of the body has its own gift.
Mm-hmm.
Each member of the body is just as important and just as gifted as every other member of the body.
Yep.
There's no big wheels in the church. There's one head of the body, it's the Lord Jesus Christ.
Take that. But it's important. That's why I believe the Lord has given everybody glimpses and a little bit of light that they could walk in how He wants to work through them or in them and do for His good pleasure. I believe that. I know we've all talked about different things. Do you feel like
nobody's right about everything?
Right.
There's not one person that's all the loyal in this earth. You know what I mean? And I think the illustration of Peter, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God, and then out of the next thing he says, we'll never let that happen. So, you know, we're all right about some things.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why the body life is so important.
Yep.
And that's why the heart, to know that every member is just as valued by the Lord and just as gifted by the Lord. Just because your gift is not this gift, that doesn't make your gift more important than that gift. And that's maturity, when you start to see that and understand that every believer has something valuable to bring to the table. And they have light of Christ that you don't have.
T, did you have that light before? You just gave it, so now you do it.
Then,
I mean, I'm not being smart, but that's the simple truth.
I got that out of Ephesians, though. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's from studying Ephesians. It really set me free, you know, to really start to look at that. You know, and there's believers in every building.
And not in buildings.
And there's believers everywhere,
right,
that have light.
Okay.
And I know for a lot of years of my Christian life, I would be part of a movement or something like that, and I would think that we had the light, and we were going in the direction, we, you know, and we were walking in all these, you know.
We have the truth. That's what every, you know, people, that's happening. We have the right truth, and you got to come here.
But by the grace of God, you know, through progressive revelation, knowledge of Christ, He's bringing us all to maturity in Himself.
Anybody?
He's sweet.
Yeah.
He never quits.
No, he's going to continue because he's faithful. Any other thoughts?
I have some.
Oh, hey, Richard.
If you think about it, they were, you know, we can see them walking in unbelief. You know, we can see them in the story. But we see the greater, we see Christ open their eyes later. But, you know, they had lived among him, they seen him, they walked with him, and he said he would suffer and die and be buried and rose again the third day. But yet, they were placed in a tomb,
mm-hmm,
and sealed, and yet it's amazing how that the women ran to the tomb, and yet the rock was rolled away, and two men were standing there, and they're angels. They're angelic beings. They were sent from heaven on a divine appointment, and they appeared as men. So that's one thing we can see, how that angels can refer. And so they know them by men, but yet they were in shiny garments.
Mm-hmm.
And they're terrified. But he said, he's not here, he's risen. But you know, the natural thing of man, apart from God, is to walk in unbelief. But the supernatural thing is for God to open their eyes. And I think there's two main things I see So that's because of this story, is that when I got saved, my eyes were closed until I got saved. And the Lord opened my eyes in the Spirit inside. And I had a revelation of Christ when He revealed Himself. And what a great day that was. Mm-hmm. It's never been a bad day since. Lord, I'm pumping in Him. But now, the second greater thing is, as we progress in life, the Bible talks about having our eyes open. When we approach the Scriptures, say, Lord, help me see. I can't see in the natural, but I have to see in the supernatural. So I rely on the Spirit, and He gives revelation. And we can see the living Christ. And I think that's the greatest thing here is they can see, and then He reveals Himself to them to make them known, to reveal them that here I am. And then, you know, you walk with me, but now you recognize who I am. Because it takes God to reveal God. So God revealed Himself to them. And, oh yeah, I want to say this as I close shortly. I'm done for the most part. God gave us Jesus. Okay? Because that's true. And then He gave us Jesus so we could give Jesus stuff away. Oh, it's so good to have that gift. It's the greatest gift you'll ever have, and we'll have it throughout eternity. But the thing is, while we're here, giving away, you might even say it's just the name of Jesus. While people smile, they're thinking about what they heard today. It's like people say something like that. But giving away, that's what I would say, because you can't give Him away when we enter into heaven. It's over. So take advantage of the situation. And trust the Lord to use you to give Him away because He's worth giving and it's worth receiving. And I'm just thankful that dare and trust Him. Be bold and proclaim it. And I'll thank you. I don't have much more to say, but I love the story. We all do.
Mm-hmm. Anyone else?
For me in part, I really believe this is true, and I think probably everyone said this, but for me in part, you get the Word of God. He doesn't do everything right. You get a progressive revelation. He shows up, you know, like the angels at the tomb. He shows up to deliver, to unveil Himself to you. And I think it's the bent of a man's heart. Not that it is perfect or pure or will do everything right. We can be screwed up in our brains, and we can have, but when it's purpose your heart towards Him, He definitely reveals Himself. He shows up.
And it's even the pure in heart shall see God, right? Okay, so Mary Magdalene eventually did see Him because her heart was after the Lord, even though her understanding needed realigned.
And when Kent was talking about gifts, I thought of that verse that said, man looks to the outward. We look and we say, oh, he's got the gifts of blah, blah, blah. He's got this gift. She's got that gift. We all try to identify everybody else's gifts, you know. But it says, man looks to the outward, or God looks to the heart. So He knows the bent of the heart. We're looking to the outside to see. And He's looking inside. And I think that's the difference between the revelation that He gives you, the progressive revelation, and whether you just stay wherever.
So if you're messed up in your thinking, but you have a love for Jesus, you're in good company. Yeah, but you're in good company, and He's faithful to continue to reveal Himself to you. Yep.
I like the way that Paul prayed for the church that the eyes of the heart would be opened. And Jesus, in Revelation 3, He counsels the lukewarm church to anoint their eyes with eyes that they may see. And he basically is telling the church, pray for eyesight that you may see. Because they went to where Jesus was. You know what I mean? The last place they saw Jesus was in that tomb. And there's another thing I see in the story too, that, you know, it wasn't a work of man to reveal Christ and roll that stone away.
Right.
God did it.
God desired to let them see the tomb empty.
You know, because they were saying, hey, how are we going to get that stone out of the way? Like, how are we going to do that work?
Maybe the officers, the soldiers would be really nice.
Yeah, it goes along with what Richard was saying. God revealed God to them.
Yes.
In
yes.
the story.
Yep. And but the encouragement, though, is as he does.
So walk it.
Walk it. Share it, however that is. And he's faithful to bring things to remembrance, to remind you of his word, to realign us. You come from Maryland to Pennsylvania, you know, not too long after, you need alignment with the roads. Many times in our lives, it's so bumpy that as we're going through it, we need to realign and readjust. So, anyway, we'll look at Road to Emmaus next week. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you. We just thank you for your goodness, Lord. We understand that we know in part. And Lord, we're looking forward to the day we see you face to face. We just pray that in the meantime, Lord, that you would open up the eyes of our hearts, Lord, that we wouldn't lean on our own understanding and all our ways. We would acknowledge you and allow you to direct our paths. And that as we go, Lord, that you would continue to bring to remembrance the things you spoke. We thank you for your goodness and your faithfulness. We thank you that you don't leave us as orphans. But you came to abide, and that's where you are. So we thank you, Jesus, and we love you and praise you in Jesus' name.